The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to The Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for listening to our program. Let us pray for God's help and blessing upon today's study of His Holy Word. And today we'll call upon an old Puritan to help us in our prayer. This is a selection from the devotional, The Valley of Vision, a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions that's published by Banner of Truth Trust. And this selection is entitled simply as The Teacher. O God, we bless Thee, our Creator, Preserver, Benefactor, Teacher, for opening to us this holy volume of the Bible before us, where we may read and consider Thy works. Thou hast this day spread before us the fuller pages of Revelation, and in them we see what Thou wouldst have us do, what Thou requirest of us, what Thou hast done for us, what Thou hast promised to us, and what Thou hast given us in Jesus. We pray Thee for a conscious experience of His salvation, in our deliverance from sin, in our bearing His image, in our enjoying His presence, in our being upheld by His free Spirit. Let us not live uncertain of what we are, of where we are going. Bear witness with our spirit that we are Thy children, and enable each one to say, I know my Redeemer. May You bless us with a growing sense of this salvation. If already enlightened in Christ, may we see greater things. If quickened, may we have more abundant life. If renewed, let us go on from strength to strength. Give us closer abiding in Jesus that we may bring forth more fruit and have a deeper sense of our obligations to Him, so that we may surrender all, have a fuller joy, and that we may serve Him more completely. And so may our faith work by love towards Him who died, towards our fellow believers, and towards our fellow men. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We left off last time addressing the second admonition that the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews includes in his epistle. This is the second of four such admonitions, in which the writer challenges readers to their great need for perseverance in their faith in Jesus Christ, if they hope to inherit full salvation when the Lord Jesus returns at His second coming. And so we read in Hebrews 3, verse 7 and following these words, Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, They always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? And so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so here the writer is calling upon God as his witness in these important matters that he was bringing to these Hebrew Christians. And again, he emphasizes that the Holy Spirit was speaking to these readers through the Old Testament scriptures, and particularly through Psalm 95, which he quotes. God himself was substantiating the writer's claims. God continues to speak to his people through his holy word, even though it was initially recorded long before. And then we read what it was that the Holy Spirit was saying. And so the writer quotes Psalm 95, 7 through 11, in which David wrote, "Today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And so the writer was urging his readers to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. They were not to be like that fallen generation of Israelites who had rebelled against God in the wilderness and thereby failed to enter the promised land. And so these Christians must not allow their hearts to grow hardened so as to rebel against God by turning away from their faith in Jesus. This is what they were tempted to do because of possible persecution. If they forsook their faith in Jesus and returned to Judaism, they could have taken the heat off themselves. But the writer was telling them there is no going back. To forsake faith in Jesus and return to Judaism would be like the Israelites wanting to return to Egypt, return to bondage, and miss out on salvation and the promise of God. And so these readers were to continue in their faith in Jesus, being willing to overcome all obstacles, all hardship, opposition, in order to enter and possess their heavenly rest. Israel had rebelled against God. They had tested God. They had tested God's patience with them. They had tested God's faithfulness to them. They had tested God's justice. They had tested his mercy toward them. And in their testing God, they had themselves failed their test. They had failed miserably, and God was angry with them. And he said of them, "They do always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways." And so their rebellion was not a one-time failure. It was rather a manifestation of their nature. They were sinners, rebels at heart. They were unbelieving, obstinate, disobedient, hardened, self-willed. And so, with verse 12, the writer to the Hebrews charges his readers to not duplicate the great sin of that former generation. To forsake faith in Jesus was to sin greatly against God. And so he warned them, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He addresses them as brethren. This is not a warning to unbelievers. This is a warning against the danger of apostasy, the warning that should be given to all professing believers everywhere. Now, this is not to say that true Christians can lose their salvation. We don't have time to go into that argument. But he's using this warning here, and it's with this warning that true Christians take heed. They hear these words of the Holy Spirit. They take it to heart, and they respond in faith and obedience. Those who merely are professing Christians, they will ignore this. They will assume this doesn't apply to them, but it applies to somebody else. And they are the ones who fall headlong into their unbelief. Here the writer says to depart from Christ is to depart from the living God. For these Christians to forsake Christ, to return to Judaism, would be like the ancient Israelites' desire and intention to return to Egypt. And so what was it that would lead to apostasy? Well, it was their unconverted heart. Verse 12 reveals they had an evil heart of unbelief. And so how do we preserve ourselves from duplicating this great sin of apostasy that entire generation of Israelites had committed in the wilderness? Well, verse 13 of Hebrews 3 tells us, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And so the writer expresses the supreme importance of the moment. He places stress upon the word today, taken from Psalm 95. This was a critical day in their lives. And we could apply it to ourselves today. Today is the critical day in your life. It's an important day, as when the Israelites failed God, which resulted in the exclusion of all the adults from the hope of the promised land, and it resulted in their eventual death in the wilderness. In verse 14, the writer holds forth what would be forfeited if they failed in this manner. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now here, the verb translated become partakers is one which suggests the past participation in Christ, which continues even now. In other words, the writer is setting forth where it is that we can find evidence that we have become partakers of Christ. How may we know we have partaken of Christ? How may we know we have been promised salvation? Well, the answer is that we have a present, abiding faith that perseveres through life and through difficulty and endures on to the end. This is the test of true faith. True saving faith is an enduring faith, a persevering faith, because the grace of God will see to it by His power, by God's power, that we are sustained through faith onto our full and final salvation. But again, what's being emphasized here is that there is no hope of salvation for the apostate. The one who turns away from Jesus, forsakes Him, no longer believes on Him. The importance is believing on to the end. Now, in order to further emphasize his already strong warning, the writer gives forth verses 15 through 18. Who were these who suffered the wrath of God? Verse 15 and reads, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was God angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. And so ultimately, what was the reason of their defection? Verse 19 records that it was their unbelief that was their root cause. Their unbelief was manifested in their disobedience, their refusing to obey God and enter the promised land under His authority. Now let's stand back for a few moments and consider some of the major doctrines in this passage that contains this admonition. First of all, certainly what's being underscored is the general sinfulness of mankind. What God had declared respecting the rebellious Israelites is true of the entire human race. They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Hebrews 3:10. And this is the nature of the human race in its dealings with the one true God. We are fallen creatures. We are sinful creatures. And we, of course, read this sinfulness of man in many places of the Holy Bible. But I might draw our attention to the charges that God levels against mankind in Psalm 10. Let me begin reading there with verse 3. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. And as for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. And his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. And so he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. This is Psalm 10, verses 3 through 11. This describes the sinfulness that is in man's very nature, his very being. God had not originally made man a sinner. Rather, man owes the fact that he's a sinner to himself. Sinful man is a self-made man. And Solomon concluded this truth through his observation of the human condition, as we read in Ecclesiastes 7:29, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. And so certainly the general sinfulness of mankind is reflected in this passage here in Hebrews chapter 3. Secondly, certainly the hardening effects of sin is taught here in Hebrews chapter 3. Sin hardens sinners. The committing of sin results in the searing of the conscience, a lessening resistance to sinning more. Sin makes people less sensitive to right and wrong. The more people sin, the less they are able to discern the increased degree of wickedness that their sin has led them to practice. They justify their actions and their attitudes. They condemn those who would stand in their way of their sinning or who would speak out against it. Individuals become hardened through sin. Whole societies become hardened through sin. And even professing Christians can become hardened, as we see in our text. Verse 13 reads, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Unbelievers may become hardened. They harden themselves to their own sin. But sometimes it is God that hardens sinners in their sin, for his patience with them has come to an end and he's purposed to judge them. We read of this in John chapter 12. "But although Jesus had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, so that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?' And therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said, 'He, that is God, has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart, lest they should turn, and so that I should heal them.' These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory, that is Christ's glory, and spoke of him." Now that's John 12, verses 37 through 41. And so here in our passage we read of the hardening effects of sin. And then thirdly, we certainly see from our passage the need for mutual exhortation among the people of God. God has made us to be dependent upon one another. A Christian in isolation from other Christians is very vulnerable to sin and defeat. The hardening of the heart is to be dreaded. It occurs by degrees, day by day, and thus the need for daily exhortation. And this is what should occur as a normal aspect of church life, of Christian life. When we come together as Christians, we are to be constantly encouraging one another, lovingly watching over one another, lest this hardening in sin takes place in any one of us. And so the need for mutual exhortation among the people of God is reinforced in our passage. And then fourthly, certainly we can see from our passage that God's anger rests upon those who live in rebellion to him. God said of those Israelites, "I was angry with that generation," Hebrews 3:10. We hear much about the love of God, and well, we should. But we should also hear the wrath of God that he has upon all those that are outside of Jesus Christ. And one day, perhaps soon, the wrath of God will be poured out in unquenchable fury upon this world. We read of what the Apostle John saw in Revelation 6. Verse 12 reads, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky receded as a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" And of course, the answer to that question is, nobody can. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 17. The fact is, the scriptures speak a great deal of salvation from God's wrath. This is what's promised through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The promise of salvation is the promise of escape from God himself and God's wrath upon sin and sinners. The word of God is certain. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but rather the wrath of God abides on him." John 3:36. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you are under the wrath of God. In spite of the fact that God has been loving toward you and showing you mercy and kindness and being patient with you, do not misunderstand, do not mistake his patience with somehow that he has cuddly love for you. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, you are under God's wrath, and one day it'll be poured out upon you unless you repent of your sin and turn and submit to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, let's also provide a few practical words of exhortation from our passage before we move onward. First, we recognize the need to respond immediately to the voice of God. The writer to the Hebrews repeated the word today. Today, if you hear his voice. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote these words respecting our passage. The first point which it presents for serious consideration is this: the special voice of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Every command of Scripture calls for immediate obedience. The law of God is not given to us to be laid by upon the shelf to be obeyed at some future period of life. And the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not so intended for the 11th hour as to be lightly trifled with during the first 10 hours. Wherever the Holy Spirit exhorts, he speaks in the present tense, and he bids us now repent, or now believe, or now seek the Lord. Again, the words of Charles Spurgeon. The Israelites had come to a time and place of critical importance. They were on the border of the land that God had commanded them to enter, and it was here that they halted and failed. It was a momentous decision that affected the next 40 years of their existence and the well-being of their very lives. And so it is that although we are to be responsive to God at all times, there may be some times of critical importance. There are times of crisis in our Christian walk when we must be very watchful and very wary of the dangers about us. A fork in the road is before you, and the decision you make will have long-term consequences. If the heart is hardened, if there exists a spirit of indifference to the things of the Lord, and the ear is not attentive to the voice of God, you may make a decision that will have far-reaching, even eternal consequences. And so there's the need to respond immediately to the voice of God. Today, if you hear his voice. And then secondly, certainly we should recognize that we have the responsibility to care for and watch over one another. This is also suggested in this passage. Each of us tends to be selfish creatures, thinking only of what interests me and mine. But if we were functioning rightly as Christians, we would be watchful for one another's souls. We will see this exhortation again later in our epistle. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 read, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but rather exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You have a responsibility, if you're a Christian, to care for other Christians about you within the context of your church fellowship. But thirdly, certainly, we see at the heart of this warning, a warning to our own souls. It is a professing Christian that this word of instruction is given. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Are there those today? Are you listening to my voice today? Have you allowed your heart to grow indifferent and hardened to the things of Christ, to the things of his word? Have you followed the admonition of Scripture to take heed and to watch over your own soul and to seek the means of grace in order to preserve yourself in the faith as the Lord enables you by his grace? These are the means that God has appointed. Are you active and involved in a fellowship of believers where you are going to be held accountable for the way you live and the way you think and the way you speak and talk? And I'm not talking about existing within a legalistic environment, but rather a truly loving environment in which there is mutual accountability and respect for one another and concern for one another, where you're exhorting one another regarding the dangers of sin. Or have you begun to regard sin as a trifle, and you've given yourself over to doing things that formerly you would not have done? How hardened are you? How far past the port have you already drifted away, as we assume the warning of an earlier portion of this epistle to the Hebrews? Well, may the Lord give us grace to recognize our true condition And may he give us the grace of repentance. And may he renew us in faith and fellowship with himself through Jesus Christ. Thankfully, God is a restorer of souls, and he'll restore you too if you seek him now. Until next time, may the grace of God be abundantly granted to you.
We trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.